Hallelujah. We get into one of our Pentecostal services, and I think of what Paul said. He said, you've turned from idols to serve the living God. Aren't you glad we serve a living God? He is alive. He's alive. Praise the Lord. He's going to be very present with you in your week. Amen. I want to share what will be helpful to us as individuals tonight, as well as to our church body. And I pray as we open our hearts to the Word, we'll feel the Holy Spirit move in our minds and our soul and make us different. Amen. I don't want to preach just to be preaching, teach just to be teaching. I want it to be an opportunity where God can work in our ways of thinking and feeling and doing and being in the very innermost being. If you turn tonight to Galatians chapter 5, this will be one of the messages in our One Anothering series. And if you'll remember as you're turning, that we began by showing over and over in the New Testament, we have these admonitions. Do this one to another. It's reciprocal. I do this to you. You do this to me. I bless you. You bless me. I pray for you. You pray for me. And God meets our needs in that process. The one I felt compelled to minister about tonight is this one, serving one another. And if you'd stand, as our custom, for the reading of the Word, I'm just going to read one verse. I'm not going to exposit it. I'm just going to read it for this last admonition. Here's what it says. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. There's a freedom in Christ. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. As much as I'd like to talk about that, the tremendous truth there, we're going to have to avoid that tonight because here's our target. Here's what he says. But by love, serve one another. This freedom in Christ is never about ourselves, our flesh. Our freedom of Christ is to minister to others, to serve others. And so tonight, serving one another. You can be seated. See if this doesn't shock you. Maybe you know it's true. But did you know that right now, as I speak, suicides in America are at a 30-year high? Right now in America, suicide's a 30-year high. Depression, despair, loneliness, all of those folks rate them as high in their life. And you got to keep in mind, this is all at a time when the total emphasis is pursue happiness, find happiness. And yet people are despairing as they pursue happiness. I listened to a TED talk when I was traveling this week, and it was a person who for years has studied the issue of happiness. She's read studies. She's read people's diaries and journals. She interviewed folks, and her question was, what made you fulfilled? She immediately jettisoned trying to find out what made people happy. She realized she wasn't asking the right question. So she began to ask them, how do you find fulfillment? You see, she said, my conclusion was people seek happiness, but fulfillment isn't in seeking happiness. Fulfillment is in finding meaning in life. She quoted a psychologist that I wanted to quote because I thought what he said was so important. He said, meaning comes from belonging. Here it is. Meaning comes from belonging and from serving something beyond yourself. And she went on saying, as a conclusion of her study, she says, true belonging comes from love, and love is best expressed by serving. Now, let's put her conclusions to this side for a moment, and let's just reread our verse. By love, serving one another. The Bible already had it figured out. Listen to me. Here's everything I want to say tonight in a nutshell. The greatest need of the human heart, mine and yours included, the greatest need of the human heart is meaning. But meaning comes from a sense of belonging. Hear this. And the quickest path to belonging is to serve other people. That's so important. I want to say it again. Meaning comes from belonging. But the quickest path to belonging is to serve other people. Now, if I were to ask you tonight, if you were honest, is your greatest need to feel a sense of belonging? You'd say yes. And so what Paul says, the Bible says, to have that belonging, serve one another. Listen, I just want to be upfront with you, kind of share a little bit of inside information. But one of the constant refrains that pastors hear from people is this. People will come to a pastor and say, I just don't feel like I belong. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I talk to my pastor friends. They say that's a constant thing. I'm not even going to go into my usual message here that that's part of the alienation that sin brings. We don't feel like we belong to God. We don't feel like we belong with other people. We don't even feel like we belong with ourselves. I'm not going to go there, even though I just did. I'm not going to go there. But when people say I don't feel like I belong, let me get some things straight. You can never feel like you belong when you're focusing on yourself and not feeling like you belong. That was real deep, so I'm going to say it again. You will never feel like you belong when you're focused on yourself and focused on feeling like you don't belong. You never will. Let me tell you another conclusion. You cannot feel like you belong when you're focused on what others do or don't do to you. That's not where belonging is. So how do you feel like you belong? The scripture says you feel like you belong by serving others. That's liberating. That's liberating because I can do something about not feeling like I belong. I can serve others. I'm going to tell you how that works in a moment. But when we put our sense of belonging on others, we'll think and say things like this. Okay, make me feel like I belong. Treat me in a way that I feel like I belong. Give me something to do that makes me feel like I belong. But if I realize that belonging comes from serving, I can take the initiative. I can do something about it. You see, serving isn't about being given something to do, though. That's great. It's great if someone comes to the church and says, I got a job for you. That's wonderful. But a sense of belonging doesn't come from having something to do. Amen. Serving isn't that. Serving is about seeking something that needs to be done and doing it. In other words, to serve, I don't just wait for somebody to give me an opportunity. To serve, I look for something that needs to be done, and I take the initiative to do it. And so let me just, if we have this, I want to just kind of give you a description of everything I just said. Serving is about meeting somebody else's need for help, relief, blessing, and encouragement it brings. If I serve, if you serve, it's about meeting not my need, it's about meeting somebody else's need for the help and relief and blessing and encouragement it brings. My family has recently, as we've remodeled this new place we're going to be moving into, we've experienced people serving us. Because I'll tell you what, it brought help, it brought relief, it brought blessing, it brought encouragement. Serving, let me tell you from the scripture what serving is. Actually, I don't know if I gave this to Brother Mike, but actually, yes I did. In scripture, there's two words that's used for serving. The first one is diako. We get our word deacon for that. First and foremost, a deacon is to be someone who serves in the church and meeting needs, the needs of people in the church. It comes to diako, it literally means to wait. Like if you went to lunch today, you had a waiter or waitress who waited on you. What did they do? They did menial things. They filled your glass. They picked up your drop fork. They gave you a bib. They, you know, whatever they did, your waiter or waitress, they waited on you. That's the first word. By the way, we get our word ministry. Ministry. People say, I want a ministry. Well, the word for ministry in the Bible is diako, to wait, to be a servant who waits. The other word for serving in Scripture is douluo, And it literally means to be a slave. And if you put these two ideas together, then service in Scripture is to wait on others as if you were their slave. Now, you might have heard that in your family. Sister says to sister, would you get me a drink of water when you're in the kitchen? What do you think I am, your slave? Well, according to Scripture, yes. You tell the wife, will you pick me up a dozen donuts while you're at the grocery store? What do you think I am, your slave? Yes. For a believer to serve is to wait on other people. Now, remember, and wait is the implication of meeting a need. You wait on people as if you were there. Now, isn't that humbling? Since when do we get an idea that being Christians is about this proud, puffed up thing and my rights and my feelings? And No. Being a Christian is meeting the needs of others as if you were their slave. A long time ago, I ran across a couplet. I have no idea where it comes from, but simply says this: find a need and fill it. Find a wound and heal it. Find a need and fill it. Find a wound and heal it. Now, the whole message tonight is we find meaning by belonging, and we find belonging by serving. But here's the point. We don't serve just so we can belong. We don't serve just because we can have meaning. We serve because somebody needs it. Let me quickly give you two classes of people that need it. Did you know there's some believers, and we're not going into the sovereignty of God tonight, but did you know there's some believers that just aren't going to make it if you don't serve them? If you don't seek to meet their needs, I promise you, there's some people who begin to serve the Lord, then unless we of the church begin to try to meet their needs, they're simply not going to make it as a believer. Whether it's a physical need, a financial need, a spiritual need, an emotional need, they're simply not going to make it unless somebody serves them. That's the way God's created it. We serve one another. The second group of people, there's a group of people that are not going to even naturally exist without somebody serving them, somebody meeting their needs. They literally cannot exist on their own. That's why I think that caregivers are some of the ultimate servers. People who give care to those that are sick and dying and wounded and cannot care for themselves. They're some of the greatest servants that there are. And believe me, people need served. If we would look around to give some very practical things, people need served. There are lawns that need to be mowed. There are lawns that need to be mowed. There are houses that need to be repaired. There are vehicles that need to be fixed. There are wheelchairs that need to be pushed. There are students that need to be tutored. Gotta have it. Gotta have somebody helping them. And if we look around, there is an opportunity to serve. Let me tell you what's involved in serving. First of all, serving requires sacrifice. It is impossible to meet somebody else's need without a sacrifice to myself. It's true to all of us. Let me say it again. It's impossible to meet somebody else's need without a sacrifice to myself. What's the greatest commodity that we have here in America? It's not really money. It's not really food. I hear it all over the building. The greatest commodity we have as Americans is time. And to serve demands that we sacrifice our time. I don't mean this to be condemnatory. It's just to have us think, when is the last time you sacrificed your time that something, you wanted to use that time for something for self, but you sacrificed that time to meet somebody else's need? Can't serve without it. Secondly, tonight, serving requires volunteering. If I put a gun to Brother Heath's head and say, mow my lawn, buddy. Is he serving? If I guilt trip him into it, you remember the time I mowed your lawn. Is he serving? No. Serving requires volunteering. You do it because you want to do it. You do it because you choose to do it. To serve, it must be something I can choose to do or not to do, and I don't wait until I'm personally asked to do it. Now, listen, I'll make something clear. I said serving has to be something volunteer. You say, well, I'm a mother. I have no choice. How can I serve my kids? Right? It's my job. I can't be a servant at my job. It's required of me. So how's that all fit? Let me tell you, even though you haven't volunteered, you did not choose to do that. You did not choose the chores of a mother. You did not choose. You cannot choose to not do what the boss asks you to do. You can choose your attitude about it. You can choose your attitude about those that you are serving. So serving requires volunteering. Serving requires seeing ourselves as stewards. I know that's an old word. It's all in the Bible. I don't know if people really know what the word steward is. Used to, you would hear that all over. If you were in England, they used the word factor, a factor. But stewards, I think most people still know what a steward is. But in case they don't, here's a definition of a steward. You know, the Bible talks about our being stewards. A steward is one who takes care of somebody else's property or money. You've heard this said, and I've heard it said, so we don't think about it anymore. But everything we have is not really ours. Everything we have was given to us from God. And really, my house, my car, my children's, my bank account, my food, my clothing, it's all God's. He's just put me in charge of being a steward. Whatever I have, God says, you're steward of this. It's your responsibility to take care of what I have loaned you, what I have given you. You give your money to the teller at work. It's not their money. They're a steward of it. And God has given us things. And we're responsible to take our time, take our resources, take our money. I messed up, didn't I? I'm saying our. The money we're responsible for, the time we're responsible for, the resources we're responsible for, the things that God has loaned us, we are to take those things and meet other people's needs with them. You know, if you got a raise on your job, that wasn't just about buying the latest electronic gadget. That was about God's enabling you to meet somebody's need. That's the way we ought to look at it. So serving requires seeing ourselves as stewards. When we do so, here we come. When we do so, we have invested in other people. And you cannot invest in other people and not feel like you belong. It's impossible. When you invest in other people, you feel like you belong. We serve whether or not we see a return, we serve because it's right. We're stewards. I'm going to move on, but let me make this last statement. The sad thing is, most often, hear me, it's true. Most often, the people with the most to give it are the least inclined to. The people that are in the best position to serve are the least inclined to. The people that could really make a difference in somebody else's life are the least inclined to. They don't realize we are stewards. It's not ours. Moving on. Serving requires living more simply and living less busy. We fill our schedules up. Some of us are more inclined to schedule everything than others. But if I'm not careful, I'll lie in bed at night and I'll have every hour of the next day scheduled up. Amen. And if we're not careful, we schedule our time with just things about ourselves, right? And so serving requires that we live more simply. We choose not to buy this luxury so we can use that money to serve other people. We choose not to take that time to watch that program every night so we can use that time to serve someone else. We live more simply. We live less busy so we can serve. Serving requires sympathy, which means simply to feel with. If you have and I have no sympathy, we'll see no reason to serve other people. Let me tell you what sympathy is. Sympathy, and by the way, the Bible's idea of compassion goes far beyond this, but just simply, sympathy is imagining myself in the place of the person that has the need. You see someone in need and you can imagine yourself in that place. And that sounds selfish, but the idea isn't to be selfish. The idea is to feel what they're feeling. When they're when you face with their what they're facing. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you about something when people are in need. This is so important. It's always easy to come up with reasons for not helping somebody. It is easy, especially in America. You can say, well, if they need help, the government already provides that. You know, and we can think of all kinds of reasons. Well, that's somebody else's responsibility. Or we can say, well, that person, if he hadn't have done this, he wouldn't be in the shape that he's in. Or if she hadn't have done that, she wouldn't need help. Amen. Or what good is it do to help them? They're just going to get back in that place again. Well, all I'm trying to say is it's always easy to find a real reason not to help somebody. But you know what sympathy does? Sympathy simply says the bottom line is they need help. However they got in that position, whatever they'll do tomorrow, right now, they need help, and I can help. I can relieve. I can make a difference. How many knows what the Bible says? I'm getting real close to finishing, believe it or not, but how many knows what the Bible says about the least of these? You know, when Jesus said, you didn't visit me, and you didn't help me when I was sick, or visit me in prison and all this. When do we not do that unto you, Lord, in that you did it not unto the least of these? You've not done unto me? And the same positively, You visited me in prison. You gave me food when I was hungry. You did all this. Lord, how do we do that unto you? In that you've done it unto the least of these. Here's one reason we should serve. Because however confident and assured and however good things are going for us right now, we really, none of us really realize how close we are to becoming one of the least of these. We really are. We're really close. I know how you feel sometimes when you're young. You know, I'll never need that help or whatever, but you never know how close you are to becoming. Sympathy, serving involves sympathy. I want to do something different rather than move on to another point. I want to look at a section of Scripture as we begin to close tonight. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't say close. I said as we begin to close. I want to look at Jesus at the Last Supper washing the disciples' feet. Because I feel like it's a premier illustration of what it means to serve. Could you just read these verses with me? I just want to read through these verses and let's just talk briefly about them. And Jesus rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel. Remember that, took a towel. And he girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? I do want to pause here. I was raised with the tradition of foot washing. I know other people feel strongly about that, and so I'm not cutting down that tradition at all. But that's really not what Jesus was talking about. Because, first of all, Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? It's not, are my feet being washed? It's, Lord, are you the one that's washing my feet? But notice what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not. If the idea is just foot washing, Peter knows what he's doing. He's washing his feet. But Jesus is saying, if you think I'm just washing your feet and this is about foot washing, you've missed it. You don't know what I'm doing. Okay? So remember that as we move forward. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Verse 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and then applying spiritually, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Listen. So after he'd washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he saith unto them, know you what I've done to you? You call me, here it is, you call me master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. You say, well, there it is, wash one another's feet. No, no, no. He said, if I, your Lord and master, have humbled myself, taken the role of a servant to meet your need, then you need to follow that example and you need to humble yourself to meet other people's needs. This isn't about foot washing. It's about being servants. Verse 15, for I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Wash feet? No, Peter, you're not getting this. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, here it is, the whole meaning of foot washing. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him. Let's have a few reflections here. This passage is not about the ritual foot washing. This passage is not even about what it means to be humble. This passage is about serving one another. Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Can anyone tell me? Practically, why did he wash their feet? They were dirty. They wore sandals. They walked in unpaved streets. They had open sewers. You talk about worried about the climate. Their emissions did not come from a catalytic converter, because they didn't have a car, they had a donkey. I'll let you finish that out. And the disciples walked through those streets and their feet were dirty. That's why Jesus said, he that's clean needeth not to be washed except his feet. If you've had your bath, you don't need wash, but your feet are dirty because you walked through the streets to get here. What's this about? Jesus washed their feet because it was a need and he met it. You see, serving does require humility. And in fact, if we're followers of Jesus, we don't become more proud and more conceited as we follow him. We become less proud. We become more humble. We become more of a servant. But this is about meeting a need. So what did Jesus do? He took a basin, yes, but he took a towel. He took a towel. Why is this important? You've heard this said many times, but let me remind you one more time. In a household, the person that washed the visitors, the guests' feet, was the lowest servant of the household. That's the lowest in the pecking order. And so they've got there. They've been there some time. There was no servant there to do that. No disciple is going to do it. They're still waiting for somebody to be a servant. And Jesus, if I then your Lord and Master, Jesus, the Lord and the Master, the teacher, he took the lowest servant's towel and basin and began to wash the disciples' dirty feet. So often when people say, I don't want to sit in church, I just want to do something. And that's admirable. I understand that. But when they say that, they want to do something, too often they're thinking of position, they're thinking of title, they're thinking of a role. And make no mistake, you can serve God through a title. You can serve, be a servant with a role. You can be a servant with a position. But for someone just to, if that's all they think about is that position to feel needed, it's not actually about feeling needed, it's actually about feeling important. To be needed is to meet a need. Jesus took a towel. I've wanted to preach for years and years, and I hear that someone else has preached it already, but I've wanted to preach a message from this passage. Is it a title or a towel? What is it? What is it? Do you want a title or do you want a towel? There's no title here. That's why none of the disciples rose to the occasion. There's only a towel, and Jesus took the towel. Here's some ways to determine that. Do I want to do this to feel important, or do I want to do this to meet a need? Do I want to do this to have power, to be in control, or do I want to do this to be a help? Do I want to be recognized, or do I want to make a difference in someone's life? And I had to add one bonus one here. Do I want to avoid Do I want to avoid involvement, or do I have a desire for that ministry? Well, you say, why in the world are you talking about? I'm sure nobody currently in any position would do this. I'm sure of that. But I'm pretty sure some people would rather work in, I know this isn't true of our current workers, but I know some people would rather work in children's church than to have to sit here and hear me preach on a Sunday morning. So there's a ministry. I won't have to sit there every Sunday morning through that preaching if I could just be involved in children's church. Brother Brad, you might have a lot of applicants since I gave some of the idea. It's because it's a ministry. I'm not trying to avoid something else. A title or a towel. I want to tell you, here's the way to belonging. Take the towel. The human way of thinking is if I had the title, I would feel like I belong. I had me. Try that on for size. If they're honest with you, talk to some boss at work. Talk to someone that's got a great title. You know what? You'll find they're as insecure and feel like they do not belong as anybody else. It's not in the title. It's in the towel. Washing feet that are dirty. So ultimately, serving is one of those things that if you do it just for what it brings, it won't work. In other words, you say, well, tonight I'm going to start serving so I start feeling like I'm belonging. It won't work that way. You know, it's kind of like saying, well, if I'm really attentive to my wife's need, then she'll be inclined to meet my needs. It does work that way, but not if I do it for that reason. Or it's kind of like, I'll pay my tithes and God will make me rich as can be. Well, it does work that if you pay your tithes, God blesses you. But if you do it for that, like a gimmick, it's not going to work. And if you say, I will serve and I'll have a great sense of meaning and belonging, it won't work. But if you'll just serve because it's what Christ has shown us. Let me summarize it all with just these words. I won't serve just because it works to make me feel like I belong. No, I'll serve because there's a need. I'll serve because I can help somebody. I'll serve because I love. I love serve one another. I will serve because Jesus served me. You say, well, he might have washed those disciples' feet, but he's never washed my feet. Nobody washed your heart. How many can say he washed my heart? I have an idea that my heart was more dirty than the disciples' feet were. I'll serve because I'm no more like Jesus than when I serve. Would you come, music? So let's summarize everything tonight. Serving brings belonging. Belonging brings meaning. That's the way to feel a sense of belonging. Serve. I don't remember the details, but years and years ago, I read in a college, several of the young men, young students, men students that lived in the men's dorm, they went to the college president, got an appointment with him, and they went in. How can I help you? He said. They said, we're so sick of living in that filth. The janitor's not doing their job, and you ought to see the men's dorm. The halls are filled with trash. The lobby's dirty. The trash cans haven't been emptied. And they just complained and complained and complained and complained. And he thanked them for coming in, said, I'll look into it. And that afternoon, those men's students were in their room studying. They heard noise out in the hall, rustling and different noise. And they began to open the doors and look out there. And there was the college president with a broom and dustpan and some trash bags. And he was sweeping and cleaning up the halls and the lobby of that dorm. I've thought of that story a lot. You know what I'm convinced of? Those who complain rarely serve, and those who serve rarely complain. Amen. Could we stand? Amen. Thank you, God, for your people. Thank you that your word speaks to us, Lord, at the core of our being. Thank you, Jesus, that you took a basin and a towel and you washed my heart. And Lord, you've given me example to meet needs of folks. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's kind of hard to be angry at somebody when you're washing their feet. It's kind of hard to say, well, you shouldn't have done this, and you shouldn't have got out and sinned, and you shouldn't have made those choices when you're trying to serve them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't the kids have a song about make me a servant? Or they used to. Do they have it? Is that right? Make me a servant. Could that be our prayer tonight? Did not our master say, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve? Didn't he say that? Amen. I want to be more like my Lord, don't you? Amen. Would you come fill these altars? Come with that prayer. Make me a servant. Make me a servant. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
To spend.